Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves us and He has great things in store for us. He's always moving mightily by His Spirit. And He has a lot to say to those that love Him, those that want to know Him. And these are exciting times. These are interesting times. Things are happening. And what I mean by exciting is, you know, this is a day that the Lord is moving by His Spirit. A great revival is going on in the lives of those who are yielded to the Lord. You know, we can't do these things in our strength. We do it in His strength. When we receive the Word in our heart, remember something about the Word. The Word of God is a charge. And it's just like if you have a good battery and the car is stalled. It won't crank. It'll turn over, but it won't start up. And it may take four or five times of cranking to get it to crank up. All right. The first time, it'll turn over pretty fast. The second time, it'll turn over a little slower. And then a little slower. And then you start it again, and it begins to slow down. But, let's say it cranks up. Well, the alternator will recharge that battery. Well, that's where the Word of God comes in. Batteries, you have to charge them up for them to operate and function. So do we. When we receive the Word of God, we're receiving the life of God. The resurrection life of God is in the Word of God. And whatever you learn from the Lord, it's a charge. And it will bring life to your life. It will bring resurrection life wherever you need it. And it will help you to make better choices. We live by the Word of God. And our actions, we receive the Word of God. Then we believe it. Then we act on it. That's when it's faith. Faith is an act. Faith is when you act on the Word that you believe or trust. So when you're acting on the Word of God in life, you're loving people in His strength. You're doing whatever you do in ministry, you do it in the strength of the Lord because you received the Word of God. And that's when you're powerful. So you have to, even though you've taken time and studied the Word, after you act on it, you have to go back and refill your heart or replenish your heart. If you crank your car, tractor, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, whatever, with a battery, you also have to have an alternator to keep the battery charged. And then the battery will supply the ignition system. These days, we have electric fuel pumps, so it has to supply the fuel pump. Cars with computers, it has to supply the injectors, the coils, everything runs off the battery. And the alternator keeps it charged up. In the natural, V6 will only drive about 8 miles when the alternator stops working. And that's in the daytime. And night is even it's much shorter. Once your voltage drops below around 9 volts, the injector stops working. And if you keep driving it, the radio will start flickering, your lights will start flickering, your motor is barely running. That's when the battery is almost depleted. You have to look for a safe place to park because it's finna stop and nobody's gonna jump it off. The battery will have to be slow charged at that point. Or you'll have to get a car and sit there for about 30, 40 minutes just to charge it up again. Now, I said all that to say this. The point is not the car. This is how our heart works also. We fill our heart with the Word of God. And then from there, you can charge your heart up with the Word of God. As you live, as you love people and operate in the strength of the Lord, you do things by His strength, not yours. That's why Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You're going to do everything you do in the strength of the Lord. When you study the Word and whatever the Word tells you to do, fill your heart with the Word, then go do it. That's the easiest way to do it. So when I woke up this Saturday, I think it was Saturday, it may have been Monday, Because I have been hearing the Lord tell me that a lot of people, they're not ready for what's about to happen. He's about to come and take his church off earth. But many people he can't take with him because they're like the five foolish virgins. They don't have the word in their heart. This is a problem. If people enter into temptation without the word, they fail. And that's not necessary to fail. A lot of times people don't know that. See, if the charge of the word, if you've used it up doing faithful things and didn't replenish it and refill your heart with it, it's not there. Or it may not be there when you need it. And that doesn't have to happen. Now, I said, the Lord made me aware that a lot of people don't have the charge of his word in their heart. And I got concerned about it. But when I woke up, it was either Saturday morning or Monday morning. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy every day. I'm going to enjoy things that God has blessed me with. And I'm not going to despair about what other people choose of their own free will. And I know that there are problems. I won't be any good if I use my strength. And it's important to live and enjoy life and enjoy the Lord and enjoy growing. And I say that because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If I enjoy life and choose not to despair, because even though I know there are problems, I'll handle that biblically, according to the wisdom that God give me. I use his wisdom, not mine. And I pray just like Jesus did in John chapter 17. Now, when I pray for others, I always pray like Jesus. I pray for those that will love God and hear him and hear the apostles and preachers. The people that want to do, I pray for them. People that's wicked, I don't pray the same way for them. For a wicked man, I want the Lord to provide the wicked with light. Let them see the Christian people live. And I'll preach to them. And I'll tell Satan he can't hinder them from block their eyes from seeing and shut their ears from hearing. I'll do that. But they got to receive the word. I'm not trying to enable people in their wrong. Now, I don't want people to die. I don't want to see anybody hurt, whether I agree with them or not. I don't want to see them hurt. I want them to live just like I want. God loves the wicked just like he loves Jesus. But you can't pray for the wicked like you pray for people who love Jesus. And I understand that. And in the hard cases, I ask the Lord to show me what to believe him for, what to pray for. Because I have to be living one accord with him. Now, it takes the strength of God to do these things. That's why I said I'm not going to despair about what other people choose with their own free will. Even though they may die, even though they may not make heaven, I can't afford to despair, because that can hinder me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it still won't help them. Now, the Lord loves us and he treasures every soul, and I know that. And God really wants things to be right so he can show people his word so they can choose to obey him and stop playing with the world. And people are dying. Now, this year, I have talked more about temptation than I ever have. I touched on it from time to time. But this year, I taught on it more, because the Lord's about to return. And so many men are peeping at pornography, or they've gotten into something. They greed, things that take away the heart. Whoredom's wine and new wine, they take away the heart. I think that was in Hosea. It may have been Haggai. I think it was Hosea that said that. Now, this is why I say that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, they absorb the word right out of you. If you reject those things, it won't be there to absorb the word right out of you. Then when you live the word of God, you still need to replenish it, so because the war is not over. But you can put so much word in your heart, and you study. When the Lord gave me scriptures, he gave me chapters, he gave me books pertaining to what I need at the time in the season. And he deals with me repetitiously. He don't just show me one thing today, another thing tomorrow. Sometimes it's the same thing for weeks. And he'll give me another book to read. He breaks it up, but it's usually in the same narrative for the season. Now, when you have a relationship with the Lord will sustain you. He'll help you prepare for what's ahead, for the assignment that he's going to use you in, for what's ahead, for what's next in your life, for what he see coming. If you're paying attention to the Lord, you will not be caught off guard. You'll be able to watch and pray always. Now, when I delivered the message of following God to many pastors, they did more of what they thought was best. And that's putting it kindly. It's not like they said, well, that ain't true. They didn't say that. They just did more of what they thought was best, which was not really what God was after. The Lord wants our attention. He even told me to tell one pastor that, he was an evangelist. And we went fishing together. The Lord told me to tell you that he wants your attention. Then he told me, my sister said the same thing. But guess what? He was still in the habit of doing things the way that he would do it. Sometimes people preach the word and they love God with all their heart. But you have to slow down and receive what God is saying. You have to give him your attention and trust him. Sometimes the Lord will start telling people things and then they'll take over and start praying for what they want and how they want it to be and never hear God out. And that's a problem. If the Lord don't build a house, they labor in vain. And I understand that. So we have to live a healthy life. The enemy uses leaven to stop us. If we allow whatever we allow in our heart is not right, or whatever we allow in our life that can hinder us, even if it's not a sin, but it will hinder us, it works as leaven. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. And the reason people don't have the word in their heart is because leadership, in many cases, have not fed the sheep. Now, it would bother me if I was a pastor or leader and people were giving me thousands and thousands of dollars and I wasn't feeding the sheep. I would never be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I pray to God that I never turn into that guy, because the judgment seat of God is not where you want to end up. You want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You don't want to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I don't either. Even if God forgave me of some disaster I caused, I don't want to cause a disaster. I want to be a blessing to everybody I possibly can. And I see people that's broken and hurting everywhere I go. And I want to do something about it. And I can't. In a day's time, I can only do so much. But what I do, I want it to be effective. And when people believe God and follow God, they can share in the work. There are people, when I go downtown to get parts, I see homeless people. You know, they probably won't listen in the first place. And some of them may listen. You don't know what happened to a person that caused them to end up that way. But your heart goes out. Your heart wants them to be healthy. I'm walking around enjoying fellowship with God, learning wonderful things, seeing visions sometimes, and the Lord training me. I want that for every soul. And I know for a fact that God is available. He's not too busy for you. He's not too busy for all those pastors he sent me to. And some of them actually inspired me. And it's a tragedy that with all the knowledge that God has been given humanity in this century alone, we have not conquered the whole world with the gospel. There are still nations that's persecuting Christians. That should be a thing of the past. My desire is to put the Antichrist out of business. I want God to use me like a tool in his hands to win souls that will put the Antichrist to an open shame. I don't like him. I don't like the enemy. I want to snatch people out of the fire. If I had my way, everybody will get saved. And when he come to rule, there'll be nobody that'll listen to him. And he can't conquer because Jesus gave us authority. He's under our foot. We can stop him at our will. That's why he's hiding. He can't just appear. He has to deceive a lot of people to outnumber us greatly. Because we can believe God and we have the angels of God to help fight for us. Those that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploit, even in the worst of times. So it doesn't bother me. The fight doesn't bother me. The lack of knowledge shouldn't happen, though. And I want to see people get to know the Lord and know what he can do in their lives. Now, when you study the word and see what God did in the lives of others, that means he'll do it in your life. And you have to trust him. You have to trust what God is saying to you. And it works. When God gives you something to do, you do it with all your heart. You do it in his strength, not yours. Now, so the word of God is a charge. If you turn your car over trying to crank it, and it don't crank, you have to say reserve the juice in that battery and figure out what's wrong. Well, in life, it's the same way. When the mountain won't move, you fill your heart with more word. You know, stand on the scriptures of healing. If you have been diagnosed with an incurable disease or cancer or something, and you decide I'm going to live and not die, so you start standing on the word. Now, one lady came to my pastor with a condition. I thought it was cancer, but I think it's diabetes. But she had a terrible condition. And it was even life-threatening. But she said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me and I'm going to get healed. He said, well, before we pray, I want you to study the word. He gave her wisdom. And she went and studied the word. She came back. He prayed for her and she got healed. So sometimes you have to do it that way. Now, let's say you've been in life. You're doing what God said do. You've been obeying. You've been studying the word. You've been praying. You've been drawing near to the Lord, receiving wisdom. And you go out and you have victory. All right, great. Now, everything's set. Your faith is finished. Your faith is now knowledge. You know, and it's something that already happened. You already won. You got the victory. The cancer's gone. Your breakthrough came. And now you're living in victory. Now go back and finish. Go back and study everything you did before you got victory in order to get victory. Go back and study what gave you victory. Then, now this is something that I practice. I go and I ask the Lord questions. Lord, how did the attack get this far? How can I prevent it next time? And as I win in life, one thing that changed this month, I noticed it in my prayer walk, that I declare things expecting what I declare, making statements of faith, and it works better. I expect to to be healed. I expect for others to be healed. I expect what I pray for to happen. When I instead of seeing the problem, I see covenant. I see covenant. This comes from not only practicing the word, but relationship. Everything I do, I see relationship. When I pray for people, that when God give me big things to pray for, it doesn't matter that I may not have enough faith to believe him for it. But he brought it to me and I begin, he'll give me the gift of faith and I'll get whatever it is. Covenant. I see covenant. I don't see a man asking God to do something that's impossible to him. I see covenant. He'll make the difference. He explained to me how the gift of faith works. If as long as you have faith to believe and you're using it, then God will make the difference for you. Now, I said that because in the last days, the attack is much heavier now than it used to be, whether you realize it or not, and even whether you feel it or not. And you're going to need God to make the difference. And I don't know another way. Now, man can fill his heart with the word of God and mount up his faith as much, you know, you're not limited there. And you can believe God without him giving you the gift of faith. But if God brings something to you, that means you're the point man. Out of everybody else on earth, you're the man he brought it to, or the woman that he brought it to. Make it happen. Don't take no for an answer. When you speak something in faith, believe it until you get the desired result. Think covenant. Put a demand on the promise, especially when God tell you to do it. When he have me to pray for nations, that's what I do. When he bring things to me, he showed me that what 2 years ago now, or a year and a half, he said that the war dreams of Henry Groover are at the door. And the dream he gave, that was the interpretation to the dream he gave me. And then I said, he brought that to me for a reason. It took me about 3 days to get it. I said, he wanted me to take authority over it. So that's what happened. I took authority over it. And so far, so good. Guess what? It's still at the door. There will be a World War III. But we've believed God and we put it off and we put it off. Today, he said, once it happens, once things start happening, it's not going to stop. And a lot of people don't have the word in their heart. Now, I'm looking to the Lord to help me help other people get the word in their heart. And I do these things with the joy of the Lord. That's where my strength is. God has this. He needs me to believe him so he can legally do whatever he wants to do. And I need to be in covenant agreement with him. So do you. So if we cannot afford to be lukewarm or even close to it. Now the Philippian church, we just read it yesterday, that they had a little strength. We don't have time for a little strength. We need to have much strength. That's where it is in the joy of the Lord. So ask the Lord to help you to see him in all things and to be whatever he needs you to be and do whatever he needs you to do. But don't focus on the work and don't focus on the problem you're trying to solve. Always focus on Jesus. Focus on the word. Focus on covenant. Focus on the blood. And you will win. Focus on the guidance of the Holy Ghost. What did the Holy Spirit bring to you? What is the Father's will? Focus on Jesus. He's the will of the Father. Redemption. Focus on his strength, not yours. Now, people get lukewarm for different reasons. And we've been covering that. Now we made it all the way to the Laodicean church. And in the Laodicean church, the Lord laid it out for him real good. This is the church of our age. And We are in the church of Laodicea. This is the Laodicean church. Everybody knows it. People have a reputation. And they have hearted. All right. Verse 14. This is Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who is this? He's Jesus. He's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything was made by Him. Jesus is the Word of God, and He's the beginning of God's creation. I read verse 14 again. I quoted John chapter 1. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Remember, without Jesus, there was nothing made that is made. And now he's talking. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, lukewarm. Jesus put it in a way that we can relate to. People like hot coffee, and sometimes people like iced coffee. But lukewarm, that messes up everything. Lukewarm people, they're like gate stoppers. Jesus told the Pharisees, you look high and low for a proselyte, a person that converts to Judaism. And when you find one, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you are. Then he said that they stand in the gate and block the way of salvation. Lukewarm people do the same thing. Lukewarm preachings, you know, they preach compromise. And when people preach compromise, people don't know what to do. So a lot of people have listened to compromised preaching. And now they need to know the word and they don't. They're about to face disaster and they don't know what to do. And I know this. And some people even had good preachers, but because they were not good students of the word, they don't have the word in their heart. They didn't know what to watch out for, and the wolves got them. You know, David defended the sheep. He risked his life to save the sheep. He didn't let wolves, lions, bears hurt the sheep. And when he became a king, he didn't let lying kings and false prophets mess over the people of God. Things were in order when he was king. And people that wouldn't do right, they had poverty. But people that would do live a covenant life, they had success in the days of David and Solomon and even Rehoboam. Now, we need to hear what God is saying. He says, so then, verse 16, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and naked and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Sometimes you have to stop the evil you're doing and start doing the things that work and reject the evil. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcome would I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, people, the things we do every day, if you want to have great success in anything, you have to change a few things in what you do habitually every day. Now let's go back and take an evaluation. I have about a minute. Now this is Revelation 2. In his address to the churches, I put in purple the things that he had a problem with. And now this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." So that's the reason that they were on the road to being lukewarm. And that's the church at Ephesus. So he gave them the solution. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." So then he commended them because they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which he hates. He hates. This is kind of like bigotry. The deeds of the Nicolaitans, laity over the people, being powerful, being kings over God's heritage.